Welcome to the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Griffith, and I'm a content writer, business coach, and owner of the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. Thank you for listening to the episode. If you like what you hear today, please go to iTunes or Google Play and rate this podcast. That's how other people like you can find the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast and hear the amazing stories of Orlando women that are featured here. So please share the love and amplify others' voices by giving us a 5-star rating on iTunes or Google Play. Thanks so much. Now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 44 of the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. And if you listened last week, this week, you know that it is my birthday month, and I want to give a gift to all of you, a little bit something that so we can celebrate my birthday. And if you didn't know, we have t-shirts available online at teespring.com/Orlando Lady Boss. And there are a lot of really cool options to choose from on the website. You can get an Orlando Lady Boss logo shirt, or you can get a Rosie the Riveter holding some money shirt, which is a really cool design that was made by my friend Erica Jacobs with Pixodactyl. Or you can get a shirt that just says, "Don't forget to be amazing." But there are some really cool t-shirts on there. And if you use the code LADYBOSS through the whole month of February, you'll get free shipping on your orders for t-shirts in the Orlando Lady Boss store. So if you could head over to teespring.com, teespring.com/Orlando Lady Boss, you can check out all the t-shirts right there in our shop. And I would love it if you guys would help me celebrate my birthday by supporting some local businesses, which is myself, and actually Erica Jacobs with Pixodactyl, and help us out by picking up a t-shirt for yourself and showing your Orlando Lady Boss pride. But again, the other thing that happens on my birthday is Valentine's Day, which is a day full of love and romance. And if it's something that's on your mind and you have a partner that you get really excited about sharing that day with, I'm really excited that today's guest is Kristen Manieri, who is the owner and founder of Orlando Date Night Guide, which is an amazing resource here in Orlando. It is a online magazine blog that shares all types of local dates that you can do with those that you love, anybody really that you want to spend meaningful time with, whether it's a partner or it's your best gal pal or whoever it is in your life that you just want to have connections with. Orlando Date Night Guide has so many resources and information about things that you can do in Orlando outside of the theme parks, that is about dates and spending quality time connecting with the people that you love. And I think that Kristen's mission in creating this website has been so amazing. And I have been a fan of Orlando Date Night Guide for years and years and years. And so I was really, really excited and honored that Kristen would talk to me all about her business. And it's so funny how she started the business. It was very passion-based. She did it just because it was something that she loved to do. And her story about how she's grown the business over time and what the business looks like now versus what it was when it started is just such an amazing story. So I'm really, really glad that we got to talk. Hopefully it will give you some ideas for Valentine's Day. That's a little bit off the beaten path if you haven't come up with plans yet. And it can make it just a little bit more special and make you remember why we want to spend that time on Valentine's Day and not so much about what it is about. You know, what's the activity? It's about the connection we want to have with that person that we love. But let's go ahead and get right into the interview right now with Kristen Manieri. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the episode. Today, I'm with Kristen Manieri with Orlando Date Night Guide. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
I'm so excited to talk to you about Orlando Date Night Guide. So let's go ahead and get started and tell us a little bit about what exactly Orlando Date Night Guide is.
We are, as far as I know, Orlando's only website that's dedicated specifically to give ideas for local couples. And when I say local couples, I really want to kind of emphasize that while we do cover some theme park things, we really feel like that market is super well covered by a lot of bloggers. And so we really focus on, like, where would you go for a date night if you lived in Seminole County or Audubon Park or if you live downtown? We really wanted to serve a group of people who are in love, married, in a rut, wherever they are in their relationship. And it's like, what are some fun ways that we can spend time together? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if they want to go to the theme parks, they could probably find some really great information about that. But we kind of serve everything outside of that.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with you. Like, if you want to go to theme parks, there's tons of stuff to do. And I agree, there's a lot of bloggers doing that. But there isn't anyone else that I know of that's doing what you're doing. And I've been following your blog for a really long time. I know it's usually the first place I go when we're looking for date night suggestions. My husband's always like, how do you know what to do and where to go? And I'm like, I'm always looking on Orlando Date Night Guide. You go there too, and then you plan a date for us.
That's awesome. I just met a couple just a couple of weeks ago. I was at that Gaylord Palms Kistery in the Making, where they had the most people kissing under the mistletoe in one place. They got a Guinness World Book record for it. And I met this couple, and the guy was like, oh, I know you. I use your site all the time. And his wife was like, what site? And he just is like, oh, no.
Oh,
like
it gave his secret.
It totally blew his own cover. And what am I going to do? So she ended up finding out that that's how he'd been planning their date nights for like 8 years or something that since they'd been dating.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so funny. And I know, like, as a couple in a long-term relationship, it can be hard to think of, like, new things to do to keep the excitement and romance and everything else alive. So you are such a great resource to our community to go, hey, this is what you can do, and here's how you can put together dates and things like that, which I really like.
Well, I hear also from people who are new to the city who say that they really love the site because it gets them out of, like we were just talking about, the theme parks. They want to know, okay, well, I live here now, and this is my home. Like, what else is there other than Disney? I figured that out.
Yeah.
But I also hear from people who are in a new relationship. I met a guy the other day. He was 26, and he said, I love your site because I really want to impress. He was real romantic. He's like, I really want to impress my girlfriend, and I want to come up with really creative things, and it's kind of like a one-stop shop. Like, everything is there in one place. So, and then, you know, with the new app, it's even more convenient because it's, like, really highly curated, even that much more.
Oh, my gosh. You're doing so much. We were talking beforehand, too, about some of the stuff you're doing. But you have an app now?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it launched in it took so long to launch. It was, like, the longest labor of a baby I've ever experienced, and I've given birth for 29 hours, so I know how long it takes to birth a baby. But it took, like, 6 months to get this app out. And then when it finally did, I think it was, like, oh, my gosh. Maybe the beginning of November it's been out. So, yeah.
Okay, so it's new.
And it certainly still is in beta. I love getting feedback from people to say, you know, this would be better if it had this functionality, or I noticed that this happens when I do this. And I'm like, thank you, because I can only recreate so much on my own iPhone, especially with Android users. So if you do have it and you have some feedback, please don't worry about hurting my feelings. We're still, quote unquote, in beta.
Yeah.
So please, like, bring on the feedback.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to download that app so then I have it conveniently on my fingertips.
Just Date Night Guide. That's all. You look it up on the App Store, Date Night Guide, or in Google Play.
Perfect. That's definitely good to know. So where did you get the idea for it? I know you've expanded now, and we'll get into that, but where did you get the idea for Orlando Date Night Guide in the first place?
We as in Mark and I, we've been married for 15 years. 15 years? 13 years. We've been together 15 years. And we moved here in 2006, and we didn't have any kids yet. And his brother had already lived here, and so we kind of inserted ourselves into his pre-existing social circle, which was awesome. But we would just go out on date nights. Like, it was just something we had done from the moment we started dating. And Saturday night or Friday night or whatever was, like, our night to do something, just the two of us. And oftentimes I would mention to some of our new friends, oh, we went to date night at Lou Gardens, or we checked at this really cool restaurant, or did you know that they have this really cool, you know, disco brunch on Sundays? And 9 times out of 10, the person either had no idea what I was talking about, they'd never heard of it, or they'd heard of it but kind of thought, like, that they didn't really, like, know what it was, or, like, oh, is that good? Like, I drove by that. Like, people who had never been to Lou Gardens, I was like, wow, how could you not have gone? It's just amazing.
I find that a problem with people in Orlando in general.
It's every city. Yeah. I don't think it's an Orlando thing.
All right, that's fine. That's fair.
It's our own backyard. Everybody, you know, what's hiding in plain sight? We just don't appreciate or see what's in our own backyard, including, you know, that, you know, the person in our life. So date night was kind of like crossing off both of those T's and dotting both those I's. It was really gave us a chance to explore our new city, gave us a chance to have date night together. And when I started to realize how many people really didn't have a resource for that very specific niche, it was like, you know what, I'm going to write a book. So that's how it actually happened first. I'm like the world's most opposite blogger. First, I wrote a book. Then I started an e-newsletter, and then I started the blog. And that all happened within like 18 months of each other, but still it was like total opposite of how most bloggers do it. First they get the blog, and then they get the book.
Oh my gosh. So there's an Orlando Date Night Guide book?
Yes, and it's incredibly outdated.
I was going to say, it probably is if you wrote it first.
Well, and not only that, but I wrote it in the beginning of 2017. I think that was right when it got published. And then the recession hit. So, like, you imagine 2007, 8, 9, even 10, like half
business
of it has
just went out.
Yeah, out of business, and times have changed. So, yeah it's definitely, it's a nice dinosaur right now for me to look at.
You know, it's a nice, like, that's the fun thing with, like, blogging or anything where you've, like, created something and then put it out in the universe, is then you can go back and look at it and go, okay, this is like a snapshot from a moment in time.
Yeah, well, and in our case, if we do have say SEO shows us there's a specific website, for some reason we rank really high for a post that we did about where to go ziplining in Orlando or Central Florida, I can't remember, and oftentimes, if a zipline place closes, we'll take it out. If a new one opens, we'll put it in. We just can keep that updated. Whereas a book, it's like once that baby's in print, it's like,
it's gone.
This is it. I can't change it. Which is why I love digital communication. You know, I love being able to be super agile.
Yeah. No, I agree with that too. That's something that's really fun with the digital space of, hey, you have this really good information and you can keep tabs on, okay, let me keep the most updated information for you in one spot.
Yeah, and so accurate.
And accurate.
You know, we like to think that we can be really, really accurate on Orlando Date Night Guide, and we make every effort to be. But, you know, to be totally honest, like, there's things that we can miss. There's things that other people might see.
You have thousands of pages on your site, I'm sure.
We do. And so when we get an email from someone that says, hey, you actually can't see the fireworks from there because they built this new thing, or, hey, you know, actually it closes on Mondays in the summer, like, that's really helpful for us. Like, I don't have, like, an army of minions moving through the city making sure that everything we write about is not only accurate when we write about it, but stays accurate for 10 years later. So it's really helpful in the digital world to be able to just make those changes.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with you, because I think that your site is kind of like a combination between like a informational blog and almost a database.
Yeah.
So you go, okay, I want to do a date like this, and you can find something. And to keep that database information up to date with all the accurate information. And whenever you're looking for something online, I totally agree with you, is like, if there's nothing written about it except for, oh, there's this one little event and people don't know what that encompasses.
Yeah.
You go, would I have fun? I don't know. Yeah. What's inside? What does it look like? All of those questions, right? And like, yeah,
if a blog says you can see something and you can't, then you get disappointed by it. Yeah. But so having that feedback and that constant back and forth of being able to update things as you go along is fantastic. Because yeah. I agree with that too.
Yeah.
Being able to just update something and go, okay, this information is a little outdated. Here's the right new information. So that's really awesome. So how has the business grown and how does it look different now than it did back in 2007 when you first started?
Well, in 2007, it was purely a passion project. I didn't actually start turning the website into an ad generated or an ad supported website until 2014. So for 7 years, it was really just what I did for fun. And my job was a freelance writer. And so I wrote for different magazines, both here in Orlando and in Florida and in across the United States and even in Canada. There's an in-flight magazine that I was writing for.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite things to do actually was to write about Orlando to people who don't live in Orlando, because mm-hmm. I would get some assignments on, like, the real Orlando or mm-hmm. why you should visit downtown Orlando, and I absolutely loved that. So it really didn't become a quote-unquote business until 2014, and I was sitting with a friend of mine. I had really been challenged by my life coach at the time, you know, what do you really want to do? And I was finding freelance writing very stressful. It was mm-hmm. just one too many factors were outside of my control, mm-hmm. and it just became really hard to stay organized. And I had said, I just wish I could do Orlando Date Night Guide full time. That's what I really want to do. And she had really pushed me about why I hadn't done that. And it really came down to monetization. Like, my freelance writing career paid me, money.
Yeah.
And my website did not pay me any money. Mm-hmm. And so I started chatting with a friend, and I was like, you know, if I could find someone to sell ads for me for Orlando Date Night Guide, then mm-hmm. that would really free me up to quit my freelance writing, and then I would just do this full time, and mm-hmm. I could really grow it. And so she introduced me to someone who sold ads freelance, and we've worked together ever since. And she sold the site out within the first 6 months. We reorganized it to have a little more ad space, and then she sold it out again, and we're in a constant state of either 100% sold out or 90% sold out.
And awesome. And so you're not doing it through ad networks. You're doing it through selling physical, not physical, but the virtual ad space through your site.
Yeah, from mm-hmm. what I understand, because we looked at a company called Mediavine, mm-hmm. which does that. It kind of, they're a middleman between, like mm-hmm. a Google Ads yeah. kind of thing, but a little more curated. We make about four times, what we charge about four times mm-hmm. what you would make mm-hmm. Doing it that way.
I can totally understand, because when you're going through those other types of places, it's kind of up to their discretion.
Yeah.
And you can hyper-focus on the right type of content, right type of ads
yes.
for the people who are coming to your site.
Totally. Mm-hmm. We use an aggregator for the national site.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just on there today, and I noticed that there was an ad for some sort of Trulia, like some sort of pharmaceutical, and I was like, why is this on here? Mm-hmm. Like, it makes me just want to just take it off there because it's not a good fit. Whereas mm-hmm. all of our local sites and, you know, obviously Orlando,
mm-hmm.
we only have locally sourced advertising.
Yeah.
And it makes really sense. Like, there's no one on there. Like, you won't find McDonald's or IKEA. Like, they're all places that
mm-hmm.
I would say, yes, we endorse this. Like, we think mm-hmm. this is a really great business, and this is a place we would recommend for date night.
Yeah. Now, and so you also, you keep talking about a national site. So mm-hmm. what's different between the national, what is this national site, and where did that come from? Because I know personally, but
yeah.
you can tell the
okay,
listeners.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So I guess in 2016,
mm-hmm.
Again, I was working with a coach or a mentor, and they had said, okay, well, what's next? And
yeah.
I said, you know, it would just be really cool to have the site be national.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had bid for the URL datenightguide.com. It was being used by someone but they hadn't used it in a lot of years. So I can't remember what I ended up buying it for. It wasn't cheap, but it wasn't like,
mm-hmm.
Jaw dropping either.
Yeah.
And then I just parked it for a while. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And then 2017 rolled around, and I was like, okay, this is the year. I'm going to start a national site, and I'm going to start having this in other cities.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up launching the national site in April, and then Tampa Date Night Guide in May, and then Asheville Date Night Guide launched in September. Now, I don't run Asheville Date Night Guide, and I don't run Tampa Date Night Guide. They're both run by separate entities in their own cities, mm-hmm. which is really how it should be.
Yeah.
You know, they produce all of their content locally. They live in their city. They love their city. Like, they're a part of their city.
That's
just
awesome.
Like I am here, mm-hmm. which is, I think, one of the reasons why Orlando Date Night Guide has grown the way that it has.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was just really a dream come true. 2017, by the time it was done, it was like the national site had been launched. The two other city sites had been launched. We're already committed to have mm-hmm. Baton Rouge and Boston in 2018. The app got launched, and it was just a really big birthing year.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I mean, I think at the beginning of last year, I remember seeing that you launched the national site, and I was like, oh my God, that's so brilliant. Good for her. So, you know, watching that to me has been, I don't know, in some ways it's like goals. Like,
you can see
where the path can lead to, like, bigger things and thinking the bigger picture stuff. And so that's really cool to hear that you did a lot of that last year, like an app, a national website. Like, you're building an infrastructure to something really big, which
is
cool.
Well, and it's very humbling because it had been a long time since I started from scratch. And when I started Orlando Date Night Guide, it was back then it was called Great Dates Orlando. I didn't have any of these aspirations. Mm-hmm. I really just did it purely just for joy, just mm-hmm. for fun. And so now that I'm starting, like, even social media, I think we have 26,000 Instagram fans on Orlando, and I have, like, 600 or something like that on the national site. Like, uh-huh. it's just the landscape has changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's different growing social media than it was even seven
yes.
years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just different. And
yeah.
it's I don't want to use the word harder because I don't like to create that reality, but it takes a lot more of my focus and time. And as we were talking about mm-hmm. offline, I'm really committed to the relationships in my life, and
mm-hmm.
me spending a lot of time on my phone building my Instagram following isn't really beneficial for the people in my life. And
yeah.
so, you know, back when I was really kicking butt around growing my Orlando, mm-hmm. you know, my kids were much smaller. It wasn't such noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
If I was on my phone, I probably spent more time on my phone than I should have back then. But
mm-hmm.
now it's like they're all grown up and they really hold me. I mean, they're 7 and 9. It's
mm-hmm.
pretty grown up to me. But, you know, they really hold me accountable there. And
yeah.
so does my husband. Like, what are you doing on your phone? Why
mm-hmm.
are you on your phone? And I get it. I want to be held accountable
because
yeah. I don't want to miss out on my life because I'm so busy gaining Instagram followers.
Yeah, and I think it's having that conversation with yourself and your family about where are those lines, especially when anybody that's an entrepreneur and you're kind of bootstrapping a business
yeah.
and you know that social media is an aspect of it that you need to be a part of. And not only do you have to understand it and learn when it changes, because it changes all the time, but also be actively involved in the actual curation process of it, too, can be a lot of work on top of the work that you actually want to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think it really is important to have that conversation with where your boundaries are and how quickly you're willing to grow based on where those boundaries are. And I think that that's just a general conversation for anything you're doing in your business that's taking your attention away.
Yeah, I mean, social media is a numbers game,
mm-hmm.
and the more time you spend on it, and the more you post, and the more you comment, and the more you like, and the more you interact, the faster you'll grow,
mm-hmm.
and there's a cost to, you know, in the real world,
mm-hmm.
how often we leave the real world in order to go do that.
Yeah.
So it's a balancing act, and I don't even pretend to have figured it out yet.
Oh, yes, we are all, I think we all are constantly trying to readjust how that fits into our life,
yeah.
whether you're a business owner or you're doing it on a, just for a personal fun basis or whatever. You did mention in other cities, they are running the blogs
mm-hmm.
and being the ones that are responsible for the hyperlocal focus. So what other ways are you collaborating with other creators to make this a bigger, better thing?
It's probably the best aspect of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a managing editor. I'm collaborating with her all the time, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
She's amazing. Orlando Date Night Guy would not be the same without her.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a team of writers that report directly to Stephanie, and they're amazing. And we had a great brainstorming session before the holidays. Brainstorming a session until we realized the bar was doing trivia. So it was ended up being a trivia night. But that's okay. We still got some brainstorming time.
You know.
But we also, you know, I collaborate with a lot of nonprofits through the Do Good Date Night. I'm not sure if you know that, but through Orlando Date Night Guide, it's birthed a couple of different event series. But my favorite is called Do Good Date Night, where we combine volunteering with date night. So we'll create an event with, say, Second Harvest. We'll go to Second Harvest. We'll have 60 of us or 80 of us. Mm-hmm. We'll spend an hour volunteering. Maybe they'll have us, like, repackaging cans, or we'll be bagging sweet potato. Mm-hmm. Spend an hour doing that. Then we'll head over into their little event space, and we'll play trivia, or we'll have cocktails, or we'll have a little buffet, or we had an Uno tournament last time. So there's a couple different nonprofits that I collaborate with to create these Do Good Date Night events. Yeah, it's really fun.
That's really cool. I really like the idea of doing of something like that. That is a really fun way to collaborate with people. But are you still doing the subscriptions? Date night subscription?
Yes and no. Okay. So the Discovery Club, I learned really, really quickly. So it was a mailed-to-you date night curation service. So every month we would mail complete itineraries, money-saving vouchers, questions, like everything you'd need to have a complete date night. And what I realized really quickly is there's a reason why I have a website, and that's because I do not want to be printing anything. Where, you know, the cost of it is really high. We're stuck with really rigid deadlines. You know, things get lost in the mail. And it was like, this isn't working. Mm-hmm. So pretty much we launched that last December 16. Mm-hmm. By March 17, I already knew that it needed to change to an app. Really, really quickly. So really it took me from March to 17. The Discovery Club stayed in... It was active until the end of August, and then we launched the app
in the
fall.
Is that what pushed the app?
Totally.
The idea?
Absolutely.
So that subscription model, you went, that is not sustainable.
Right. And the app, the app has everything that had. So we have question cards where you get really fun questions that really stimulate great conversation. We have deals. Mm-hmm. We have itineraries so you can click on and you have a fully curated date night. Go here, then here, then here. So no thinking on your behalf whatsoever. But then we also have a bank of ideas. We have events. You can also book a babysitter right through the app. So it really is a one-stop shop, and we weren't able to do that with print. Mm-hmm. There was a limit. Plus, I would hear from people like, we got all the way to the restaurant, and we forgot our voucher for that free bottle of wine, or we forgot our cards, or we lost our thing, and, you know, it got thrown out by accident. So in many cases, as much as I can be somewhat anti-digital, like get off your phone and just be together, from a practical standpoint, it made sense that all of that was on the app. So that's how we did it.
I think it's a really smart idea, though, to see, like, where things were the right place and they're working, and then how you could pivot into something and still take those ideas that are good and pivot into the right delivery method.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's just a way for you to rethink, like, okay, I don't have to do this one thing forever. I can readjust based on feedback and then go forward. And that was a big readjustment going from a printed to basically an app application
and
of it.
It was expensive too. But I have to say, if there's one word that I could say was like my word of 2017, it's pivot. And I don't have the word failure in my vocabulary. I don't consider anything that I attempt and don't quote, it doesn't end up being what I had hoped. I never consider that a failure. I always look at it as an opportunity to pivot because there always is. I learned so much from launching that. So much. I'd never launched anything so big in my life. It was video and social media and web and design and working with printers. Like, there were so many things that were outside of my comfort zone. And while I could see now that I would do a lot of things differently, you know, even beyond the fact that we moved to digital, I got so much confidence in my ability to just change, to be able to see, like, okay, this isn't working, change. And we even changed before we even decided to move away from print. We made several changes before we even did that. So it feels really encouraging, like, inside me to be able to say, okay, things aren't always going to look how I would want them to look, or where I think how they're going to look. And there's just a pivot. There's just always just a pivot. There's no failure.
Yeah. I like that. I like that concept. It's just pivoting. It's not failing.
Yeah.
I like that. Totally. I'm going to take that and tuck it away for a rainy day. I like that because I know that's constantly where my head goes first is, oh, you failed at that. And I like the idea of going, it's not failure. It was just, that wasn't right. Let's move on. And
well, if you think about it like a basketball game, you know, that the teams are constantly moving from defense to offense. Mm-hmm. And at any point, if I'm, you know, playing against you and I'm trying to score in your basket and you grab my ball, I don't walk off the court and be like, I just failed. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally pivot. I changed the direction of my feet and I start chasing after you to the other side of the court. Mm-hmm. So it's business, life, whatever. It's all like that. Like, it until you hear that, you know, loud bell at the end, literally the game is over.
Yeah.
And I hope I don't hear that bell for many, 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 many years. Mm-hmm. It's still game on.
Yeah. It's the whole idea of, like, life is just constantly changing. And so is your business.
Yeah.
Like, your business is just constantly going to change over the course of the last, you said 2007 you started it. So it's been 10 years now that you're a little over, because we're in 2018 now. 10 years that the business has gone from basically something that you just love to do that was a passion project to a business that, you know, you're able to cultivate and shape and grow, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. So why exactly do you find, you know, date nights so important to cultivating a relationship and maintaining a relationship?
I think it's because, for me, I can speak for myself, I thrive in structure. Mm-hmm. I thrive in schedule. So what gets scheduled, whether it's when I'm going to go to Orange Theory or when I'm going to meditate or which days I'm having lunch with my husband, or if it's scheduled, if it's in my calendar, it's actually going to happen, and I'm going to bring myself to it in a way that is different than if Mark just said, hey, it's Friday night, do you want to go out tonight? Like, not that I'm not up for spontaneity, I certainly am, but it's like I see Saturday night coming, I start thinking, what are we going to do? You know, full disclosure, I plan all of our date nights.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. Uh-huh. It's what I do. Uh-huh. So he rarely plans them, and that's okay. I have no resentment about that. When he says he wants to plan them, I kind of look at him sideways and be like, why?
Like, you do know.
Makes me uncomfortable. But, you know, I plan them. I start thinking maybe earlier in the day, what am I going to wear? Like, I kind of do put a little more makeup on than I normally would. And
you know, I really agree with that, because I feel like my husband and I get into that trap of, like, it's Friday night or Saturday night, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And then you're literally, like, twiddling your thumbs, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to get dressed to go out and do something. You don't.
It's just too easy to be lazy.
It's too easy to be lazy. And the idea of, like, the anticipation of it is missing.
Yeah, and you could really take that and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a couple who he just mentioned it to me recently that sometimes they'll meet out, even though they live together.
Mm-hmm.
He'll drive there and she'll Uber, or maybe they live close by, but they'll meet at the restaurant instead of even going there together. And I was like, ooh, I like that.
I do too.
Actually changes that dynamic, because you're not, for us, you know, both of us saying goodnight to the kids, both of us talking to the babysitter, like it changes the dynamic a little bit.
And I think too, like, you know, as a woman, like, getting dressed up and like feeling like, then you show up and like he doesn't see you in like the half dressed up.
He didn't see you go from like yoga pants to like black nice little date night pants.
Yeah, and you capture that little bit of like what it was like when you like first started dating. I really like that idea. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just takes a little bit of planning. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm speaking to my own choir here, because I'm a planner and I love to plan. And for some people, they think, oh my gosh, I'd rather be spontaneous. And if that works, and if the result you want gets produced, if you get romance and you get connection and you know, really have time to really honor the fact that you really matter to each other, great. But for me, and I know for a lot of people, when they're busy and it just feels like, especially if you have to book a babysitter, rarely can you call and be like, hey, are you free in an hour?
Yeah, for anyone who has a mom, any parents out there, there's no way that you can do
not
a lot
free
of spontaneous
in an hour.
Stuff.
No, absolutely not. So yeah, so for me, it really, I think date night, and you can have date night. We have date nights with our kids. I'll just take one kid out for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are having a standing date with your favorite girlfriend or, you know, whoever we deem as, like, these are the important relationships in our lives, it's really creating some intention and bringing some commitment to you matter, and I want to spend 2 or 3 hours with you every week or every month or every other week or whatever that looks like.
I like the idea about that because it's about the intention and not the activity.
Totally. And the activity you can figure out. I mean, that's why an Orlando date night guide exists. It's like you got 3 hours. You got a babysitter. You set that date. We can take care of all the rest for you. You know, especially with the itineraries on the app now where you're like, okay, well, I guess we're going to do this one and then it's done.
Yeah.
All of it's it's all organized for you.
Yeah, I really like that because I haven't thought about that in that way. Like because I like the idea of spontaneity, but then when it comes time to do the spontaneous thing, you're like, I'm too tired.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I completely agree. And it's amazing how our state can shift in an instant because of a commitment. So there's definitely nights where I've seen this date night coming for days or hours in advance, and I'm just tired. And I shift my state. You know, I go and drink a cup of tea with some caffeine in it, or, you know, I just go on the date anyway.
Yeah.
And part of the night, I suddenly realize, like, wow, I'm fine now, actually. Yeah. Like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, lately, what Mark and I have been doing, not today because it is freezing today, but we'll go out for dinner somewhere, and we'll go somewhere where there's somewhere nearby we could walk. And we will literally, I'll wear my nice, cute little heels, and then we'll go back to the car and we'll change into running shoes and we'll go do like 3 laps of Lake Eola or something like that. And that, I mean, talk about changing your state, especially if you get sort of sleepy after dinner or you had a couple glasses of wine. Man, we have the best conversations. We get so energized. We have so much fun together and it costs $0.
Yeah.
And now, instead of just going out for dinner or going out for dinner and having a drink, going out for dinner and going and seeing a movie, we, like, went out for dinner and we did something really good for us, not just physically, but emotionally. We get really connected when we walk.
And you brought up two different things, because the last few years I've done a lot of reading into, like, happiness research, and you and I kind of talked a little bit about connection beforehand, and those types of things. And two of the things that you mentioned, which is, one, the scheduling and the anticipation. And, like, when you talk about vacations, one of the things that people like most about vacations, according to studies, and I don't have the specific studies, is the anticipation of the vacation.
Totally.
You look forward to it more than maybe you even enjoy the actual vacation.
Right.
And then the other thing is, when you walk and you're doing physical activity, you're more open to having conversations. And also, too, if you think about one of the things they talk, and I've seen stuff in regards to work meetings, so not specifically relationships, like you're saying, but it translates really well, is you don't have to look at the person while you're talking to them.
Yeah, it really, there's an opening for more disclosure. When I'm not sitting right across from you, it's almost like, you know, a meeting or, you know, it feels like an interview. I think if you go on a first date, go walking. That there is no better way to really, in a very, you know, comfortable, easy way to get to know someone than going on a big long walk. I think that would be so cool. If I went on a, got asked out on a first date and we went out for dinner and he said, hey, by the way, bring some walking shoes because I would love to just go on a walk after dinner with you. I'd be like, what? Who is this guy? I think that would be pretty awesome.
No, I think that those are really great ideas. And I know we're always looking for, everyone's always looking for ideas on how do you do a date night that's not that expensive. And how do you do a date night that's not just dinner?
Yeah.
you know? Totally. Because I know that that's a trap that a lot of people fall into, is they just go to dinner and then you sit at dinner and then you go home and you're like, okay, now what do I do?
Yeah, well, I'm actually in the process. It takes me a little longer than it used to, but I'm writing a blog for Orlando Date Night Guide on things you can do after dinner other than go drink. Because I gave up alcohol for a year. It was just an experiment that I wanted to try out. So from July 3rd last year to July 3rd, 2018, I will have no alcohol. I have not had any and I will not have any. I'm like 6 months in, I think. I think I made it the 6 month mark.
Yeah. This is in January. So yes, we're right about one day before the 6 month mark.
Yeah. So it's been a really interesting experiment, and it also has gotten me to see how much of our content on Orlando Date Night Guide really falls into that alcohol culture, which I don't judge at all. If people want to drink, go for it. I think it's great. I miss it in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But for people who are maybe on some sort of diet plan or they're pregnant or they're in recovery or, you know, whatever the reasons why someone has chosen not to have alcohol, we are not as creative. We're, okay, we're going to go for dinner, but then what? And so I'm actually working on a post to give people ideas. Like, what can you do after dinner other than drink? Mm-hmm. You can go play trivia. You can go for a walk. There's a lot of really great board game or, like, arcade bars now. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, it's a bar, but you don't have to be participating in the alcohol. So, yeah, stay tuned. By Valentine's Day, we probably will have that out.
Yes. Hopefully, go on to Orlando Date Night Guide and look for it and see if it's
alcohol-free date night.
Yes, that's really awesome. So what have been some of your favorite Orlando dates then?
Well, for me, because when we go out, we kind of want to extend it. Like, dinner's not enough for me. Mm-hmm. We can be done in an hour.
Yeah, me neither. Sometimes. Dinner's not enough for me either for a date.
I agree. I want more. I want to have more time out. So what I love is progressive date nights. And what I love about Orlando is it has all these, as you know, has all these great little Main Street pockets. So Audubon Park and College Park and Thornton Park and Mills 50 and Baldwin Park and Celebration and downtown Disney. Disney Springs now. Yeah. Or you could go to City Walk. But we have all these little condensed business districts, and you can just park your car. And what we do is we go to the first place, and we just, back when I was drinking, we would sit at the bar and have a cocktail, or we'd have an appetizer. And then you go to the next restaurant, and then you just sit at the bar and you have a salad. And then you go to the next restaurant, and then maybe you have your mains, and then you go to the next restaurant and you have dessert. And what it does is you might end up eating at restaurants that you've never heard of before because maybe they just don't market, and unless you walked right by them, you never would have found them.
Yeah.
You might have end up eating at a restaurant that you've eaten at many times, but then you ate at a bunch of ones right next door that you'd always been meaning to try. But it has that element of, like, adventure, spontaneity, as we had talked about. It lets you kind of veer off the beaten path a little bit. It really supports local businesses because in a lot of these little business hubs, like Mills 50, you're not going to find chains.
Yeah.
It helps you promote or it helps you support a lot of these, like, mom and pop sort of places. And it really extends the night. So that's one of my absolute favorite things. And, of course, everyone can go to Park Avenue, but I really recommend there's a Hannibal Square even, like, just slightly off the beaten path.
Yeah.
It's a really great place to do a progressive dinner.
Well, we, you know, my husband and I, we're in Audubon, and we went over to Easton Market.
It's a great
one. Hadn't been to Damu yet.
Yeah.
A few months ago. So we've been a few times since then. And while we were there, though, because we were doing a let's go to a new restaurant every Friday.
Oh, that's
That
awesome.
Was kind of like our, yeah, that was like the way of like, okay, we have something to look forward to, but it's not specifically planned. And when we went to Easton, I was like, oh, there's like 7 restaurants here that all have different things that you could, that we could literally come back to Easton every weekend and do a different activity just in this one spot.
Yeah. Well, at the Femme de Fromage, you know, they have that grilled cheese happy hour once.
Oh, yeah. That's what I saw. Well, I saw the grilled cheese and beer flight on Friday nights.
Yeah.
And I said to him, my husband, I was like, why haven't we done this?
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
We love that. So, so definitely the picking an area and just be spontaneous, just be adventurous and just check. And we have no end to those. I think that's really great.
No, I think that's a really fantastic idea. And I really like what you said about just going to different restaurants. And the nice thing is, too, is I think the one thing that I'm always afraid of when you go to a new restaurant and you go to a new place is not liking it.
Yeah.
And so if you go and you're just having a salad or a drink or one dish at each restaurant, then if you don't like it that much, there's another place you're going to soon.
Yeah, and you know what? Sit at the bar so you're not, you're not using up a table for the entire time, and maybe a server's like, really? You're just having a salad? That's all I'm serving you for? And I'm going to make $2 off of you? I would understand that would be frustrating. Mm-hmm. So just sit at the bar.
Yeah.
And then while you're sitting at the bar, it's a great opportunity to ask the bartender about the restaurant. Because bartenders will talk. They will tell you. And they'll tell you about what's nearby. And they're probably have some level of loyalty to the restaurant that they're at, but they're also real people. You know, they'll be like, you know what, I like this dish on the menu, but, you know, they also have a really good burrito next door, and they're just really great, especially when they know that you're out to do a progressive dinner.
Yeah.
They're really apt to help you kind of curate your night.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I love that idea. So I think that we're going to start wrapping things up here. And the last question I have for you is, what is a piece of advice that's stuck with you over the years?
It came from my friend Kendra. mm-hmm. who is the publisher of Edible Orlando magazine. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to interview her.
But no, I haven't.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Really awesome person. I love what she does for the local food movement. It's absolutely awesome. Beautiful
then
magazine.
We'll need to reach out to her.
You will. Kendra Lott. Kendra. She said to me one time, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Hmm. And for someone like me who is always thinking, always, you know, my mind is always going, I'm always ready to do the next thing. In fact, I've promised myself in 2018 I'm not allowed to create anything new. So if you see me creating thing new in 2018, I'm in big trouble because I created a lot of new things in 2017. Mm-hmm. It's like I say to my husband, I birthed all these babies and now I just have to take care of the babies.
Yeah, you got to raise them.
Yes, I can't create anything new. I'm not allowed to start anything new. So if you're someone who is highly creative, you know, highly productive, is someone who just can get things done, mm-hmm. you tend to, A, be asked to do a lot of things mm-hmm. because people are like, I'll tap her to be on my team because she gets stuff done. Mm-hmm. But you also get kind of addicted to the making of it, mm-hmm. you know, the launching of it. Like I could just keep making things and then now I have to like take care of them and that's not as fun. Mm-hmm. So Kendra has really brought me down to earth many times and said, just because you can doesn't mean you should, because I can do a lot of things. I can start new event series. I can collaborate with new people. I could start brand new websites. I could launch another app. I mean, trust me, mm-hmm. all of those things have crossed my mind probably on a daily, if not weekly, basis.
I think any entrepreneur has like two or three other ideas of totally. What they could be doing in the yeah. back of their head.
It's side hustles on their side yeah. hustles. Yeah, I totally get it. So that was great advice, and I really do remind myself of that. Just because I can doesn't mean I should, because uh-huh. it really feels like, oh, I want to do it all, but I also want to do what I have done really, really well. And so definitely in 2018, if you see anything from me, it's focusing on what I already have and not trying to launch all, you know, new things
yeah.
and doing what I am already doing better.
And there's so much, you know, that we talked about in here. You have an app, and this episode is coming out in February, and so if you're thinking about Valentine's Day, go over to download the app, because
yes.
I'm sure you'll have things up by February on there if you don't already, because
yeah.
I know some rest. My birthday's on on Valentine's Day.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes. So I know that if you want to go to a nice restaurant, you need to be making a reservation. Like
pretty much, yeah, by January 15th.
Like true. Really super
totally.
Early. So normally we try to avoid not going to restaurants,
totally.
But there's so many other things to do around that time of this time of year
yeah.
for Valentine's Day. So download the app. And where else can we find you on social media?
All Orlando Date Night Guide on
mm-hmm.
Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and obviously on the web at OrlandoDateNightGuide.com.
Awesome. Well, we thank you so much for
thank
being
you.
On the show.
Thank you. It was so super fun.
Yeah, I had so much fun talking to you, and we will catch everyone later.
All right. Thank you.
See ya. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us here today on the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please check it out on iTunes and Google Play to find all of our back episodes of other amazing Orlando women sharing their stories. While you're there, if you love what we do, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating. It will help others discover us too. You can also check out the blog, OrlandoLadyBoss.com, where you can find even more information about career, feminism, community building, and women-focused stories. If you're on social media, make sure to like me on Facebook at Facebook.com/OrlandoLadyBoss. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at OrlandoLadyBoss. And if you're a woman in Orlando doing cool things and making an impact in your own community, make sure you hashtag Orlando Lady Boss so we can share our stories together. And that's the episode. Until next time, stay strong and go out and make an impact in your own world.